Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. This is Access Astrology, and we are speaking to you tonight from New York. A third of us is in St. Paul, Minnesota, and is not on the line because she has a sore throat. That's Heather Roan Robin. But we have myself and Ann Ortley tonight. I'm Mark Wool, and over on the west side of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. On the east side is
Ann Ortley, and I am an astrologer, and I'm sitting at my bright red desk with a broken computer that just went poof in the night, so I'm trying to recover it. Exciting, huh?
What happened?
It just said my boot critical file, DCIDLL, is corrupt, so I'm playing with my computer here while we're speaking, so I can't see if we have any callers. So I apologize in advance, but it's like, I don't know, the computer just, I was on the phone, and it went poof, and that was it. So we've been having computer excitement. I'm like, it's an eclipse. No.
Yeah.
I don't want my computer to leave. So we'll see
right.
What happens. So it's an exciting night. We're having an eclipse. We're having a Saturn station. We're having all these changes in the world. And forward we go with all this new energy. So the eclipse is, Wednesday, I think, right?
Sounds right.
Yeah.
It'll be a lunar eclipse.
A total lunar eclipse. I know. It's kind of cool.
On Wednesday at 4:14 in the afternoon Eastern time.
Yes. And it will be a full moon, which means that we won't see it because it's still daylight our time. But it will be available for the rest of the world to see Asia, Europe, and all those guys. So it's kind of cool. So what do you think is going to happen on the eclipse?
Well, I think, watch out if your computer has problems. Because
my computer's not happy.
Yeah, that sounds not so good.
No. Corrupt file's not a good thing.
Right. Yeah. Well, we have this moon, which is being eclipsed. Whenever there's a lunar eclipse, of course, that means that the shadow of the Earth passes over the face of the moon. So basically the Earth gets in the way between the sun and the moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's reflecting the light of the sun to us, but then we get in between, and so the moon moves into the shadow. And that's happening on the North Node. The moon that disappears for a little while, that happens right on the North Node. And it has a North Node flavor to it, which is, in many ways, it's a an eclipse that brings new things in as much as lets old things out. So, if your computer has a problem, maybe you'll be getting a new computer.
Maybe I'll be getting a new computer, yeah.
Yeah.
My DLL, my critical file, gone.
Really?
Well, we have backup, so that's good. But it's really just more the principle. If you're sitting talking on the phone and the computer turns itself off, it's like, wait, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So eclipses make things leave. They also make us problems that are in them come to the surface. So maybe this has been in there for a while and I just didn't know about it. And the other thing they make us do is they make us emotional. You know, and this one is going to be a very emotional eclipse because it's on the full moon. And the moon is, lunar eclipses are full moons, but it's right on the nodes. So when there's things that happen right on the nodes, we have really big emotional reactions to them, and we have very strong ego relations to them because the sun is on the south node. So I know I've had a few people kind of calling really freaked out or very upset or very crazy about what's going on in their lives right now because it's just heightened emotions. And so the more we watch them, the more we understand, watch our emotions, the more we understand what the system wants us to do. So it's always fascinating to see what the vision is. And eclipses make us see a vision. They really help us see past, and we go back to 1993. And we also go back to 1975, because that was the last time the eclipses were at these points. So if you think about what was going on for you in 75 and 93, you were at a turning point of some sort in the area that you're at a turning point in now, and the universe said, here's the information you need to make your decision. So I like eclipses from that point of view, is they give us information we didn't have before, and then we, based on that, we get to decide what we want to do or how we want to change or if we want to change. So,
yeah.
What do you like about eclipses?
Well, we need every so often for things to be eclipsed in our life by something. So things that are important, things that we need to look at and examine and perhaps let go of, or things that where there's a space to be left for something new to come in, all that needs to come up. And the eclipses show us what those things are. So it's good to look. And they don't always mean, some huge thing, oh, my goodness. You know, my whole life changed. You know, that would be every 6 months, folks. You know,
mm-hmm.
we don't get huge changes every 6 months, but something does shift for us. And so every time there's an eclipse, it's worth looking and seeing and recognizing that, okay, this might be an eclipse where it's the smaller, finer things. But the more you can be aware of them, the more you learn from them, and you have an idea of why something left and why some shift occurred, and then you're able to do more with it. So I like them for that reason.
Mm.
And that's the bringing to consciousness that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Otherwise what?
Otherwise, we just sort of stumble along, and things come and things go, and we don't take too great a heed of it, unless it's a huge thing.
Right.
It's good to be able to notice the not so huge things, but that are significant.
I think that it's. I think we also find part of the image of the eclipse, because the lights go away, is that there's a reflection that we catch that's different than what we normally see. And we forget that, that when the sun and the moon are so powerful, it's kind of an interesting process, because we're looking at what the vision is of how we're going to create, what we're going to create. Because the moon in the north node says, I want to create something. So I want to be something. I want to maybe be pregnant. I want to give birth to something. I want to do something. And lunar moons, because of the polarity of the sun and the moon, often reflect for us that disparity between the ideal, the ideas, the vision, and then how do we get there? How do we link the two parts, the part that is visionary, the communicator, with the data, the ideas, the purpose? And I don't know, I've had a lot of people calling, crying this eclipse, because old behavior patterns, because the sun is in Gemini, have reappeared, but they have a trick attached. So they're doing that, and they're getting tricked at the same time. And they're pretty mad, actually. Some of them are. And some of them are, wow, I got tricked again, and are upset with themselves. And I'm like, no, Mercury is a trickster. And he's going really fast right now. Mercury's going along at almost 2 degrees, 11 minutes a day. He's flying through the sky. So he is really in the mood to pull your chain. And if we know that, when Mercury pulls our chain, we say, oh, there's that Mercury causing trouble, and really understand what the message is. So I had one friend who, a guy that was interested in her when they were younger, showed back up again, and he'd showed up before, with a wife that he was unhappy with, but he didn't want a divorce, but he wanted to have an affair, and she's kind of banished him. And then he came back, and she's like, so So, like, what changed? And nothing had changed, you know. And she's like, well, why are you back? You know, and he's like, well, I don't know. It's like, well, you know why you're back. You're back because you're hopeful. But, it, you know, and then it was kind of like, she was like, well, what? You know, I feel like so foolish. I'm like, why? You know, he's trying. He's going for the clothes. But you were clear. You knew what you wanted, which is not a married guy, you know, where you know, you don't have 100% participation. So I think it's understanding that we aren't doing anything wrong on eclipses. What we're doing is we're being exposed to things that we need to see and work with on a different level. And in that, if we can stand in that place, then it becomes really good because we're standing in clarity. And that's really all that it needs is just to stand clearly and see it, and then you can figure out what you want to do with it. So I find them fascinating.
This one will raise those Mercury tricks because also the South Node right now is in Gemini, which is ruled by Mercury. So Mercury's tricking us into letting go of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for everybody. You can look in your natal chart and see where the axis of Sagittarius and Gemini falls, and specifically 24th degree, 24 Sagittarius, 24 Gemini, see what houses those spots are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where this eclipse lines up. So you'll see, you know, a good idea of what the issues are, what it raises for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think it's a fascinating time. We also have this week, in addition to the lovely full moon, we have Mercury changing signs and going into Cancer.
Right.
And when he does that, he gets much more sensitive, and he does that the day after the eclipse. So there's been three in a row. There was one last month on June, or at the beginning of the month on June 1st, and there's this one now, and then there'll be another one on July 1st. And each of them are in different signs. Mercury's in different signs in each one. And he's ruling the South Node. So they have very strong differences when they're in different. Mercury in Gemini right now is chatty, communicative. When he goes into Cancer on Thursday, he becomes very much more sensitive and has a lot of trouble really saying what he wants. He feels deeply. And the first eclipse, he was in Taurus, so he was very possessive. And it was very physical. You know, it was a physical reality. So it's an interesting shift as he moves between Taurus Mercury, which is physical, I want it, I want it, I want it. Gemini, well, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. Cancer, deeply feeling very few words. And I think that's part of the big shifting energy that's going on here, too. And also this week, the moon is in Sagittarius, or today the moon is in Sag right now. Right around the time my computer died, in fact. And its closing aspect is on Thursday, or on Wednesday, I'm sorry, and that is a moon opposite Mercury, so separating from things. I might be separating very much, Mark, from my computer. Because the moon in Sag is on the midheaven, and it's opposite Mercury, saying it be done. And then on the on Thursday, moon goes into Capricorn, and it's in Capricorn on Thursday and Friday, and the closing aspect is at 4:07 in the morning on Saturday morning, and that is a trine to Mars, so those are very productive days. And then on Saturday, we have the moon going into Aquarius, and it'll be in Aquarius on Saturday and Sunday, and almost of Monday with a closing aspect on Monday of a square to Mercury. So again, an ending or separating aspect on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So separating. We got separating on Monday, Tuesday. We got joining Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, actually. We have joining on Thursday, Friday, cooperating, helpful, and then we have separating on Saturday, Sunday. So it's a pretty big week, and I think we're going to find some interesting separations happening. What else did you notice in the week ahead?
Well, we have let's see, we have Venus trining Saturn, as part of this eclipse, which is that's helpful. And we have Mercury squaring Uranus, and this is all part of Mercury moving so fast, because as Mercury moves along, you know, we get the square to Uranus as right after Mercury enters Cancer, and then which is right after the eclipse, and then Sunday Mercury will oppose Pluto from Cancer. So we have a lot of this Mercury activity plays through this eclipse, and it goes on, and it squares Uranus, opposes Pluto, and that's, you know, those are kind of the big guys that we're looking at over the next several years, this Uranus square Pluto. And when we have Mercury goes zipping through it, squaring one and opposing the other, it's kind of like, you know, Mercury the messenger alerting us, saying, hey, the big guys are in a square, and they're not directly squared now, but I can see one, and now I can see the other.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting kind of a warning. And, you know, with that around the eclipse, there's a good chance that this eclipse will bring up something that's related to this incoming Uranus-Pluto square. So, and we know that this is a big theme for the next several years. So we can watch for that. But Mercury, you know, it is the trickster. It's also the news and the way that we think and communicate. So there's something coming through our communications and our news that will herald this approaching Uranus square Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really, it hits, you know, not quite yet, but it's forming. And so here comes Mercury pointing to it and saying, look out, look out. The big guys are squaring off.
Right.
Yeah. So we can watch the news for something about what's coming up on that. And it'll be in terms of an eclipse. So we'll see some changes. And it's kind of a warm-up for this period of, what is it, about 8 years that we're going to have.
Yeah, through 2016, end of 2016. And then they separate. And the, you know, when we talk about the square, the planets are going to, Uranus and Pluto are going to square each other 7 times. Now, what we do when we have a square is we always look back to when they joined each other for the first time. So between 1960 and 68, Uranus and Pluto were traveling together. And if we think back on what was going on in history at that time, we had the Vietnam War, we had the Civil Rights Movement, we had the Women's Movement, we had the Gay Pride Movement. We had a lot of the groups, the Uranus, the collectives, the tribes, asking Pluto for transformation of their existing roles as servants, because the planets were in the sign of Virgo, or servitude. And so there was changes that happened as they opposed the existing authorities, Saturn and Pisces, you'll do it because we tell you to. You know, it was also Vatican II. It was also, you know, kind of, hell no, we won't go. But it was in mutable signs. Mutable signs are easily changed. There's an ease to them. They're not so invested in it. They're kind of like, well, I guess maybe we should let the girls have the boys' jobs. I guess maybe we should let people sit at the lunch counter and eat. Okay, you know, and there were certainly, not to minimize the civil rights movement, but to say that it wasn't violent the way it can be now. Because now what we're having is Uranus in the sign of war, fighting with Pluto in the sign of power. And since Uranus went into Aries at the beginning of January, we have seen him causing a lot of stuff in the Middle East, certainly, and saying in that environment, we want the powers that be that are not kind, that are Pluto powers, that are Capricorn powers, that hold the power, that aren't sharing. We want them to overthrow. We want them to leave. And so all the domestic unrest that's been going on is enormous. And we also find Uranus and Pluto very active in the Earth energy, because Pluto rules the Earth and Uranus rules the fire. So we've been having a lot of volcanoes, you know, Uranus-Pluto square. And we also are having Earth changes, you know, physical Earth changes. The Earth, you know, we had the earthquake in the volcano in Japan, and it actually moved the country 7 feet or something like that. Kind of like, wow, a whole country moved?
Yeah.
And so we have this for seven more times till 2016. So when they were talking about the Mayan calendars and stuff like that and the whole changes in the vision of what's coming, it's like they didn't have these planets discovered yet. But whatever those guys were looking at, saying, well, big changes on Earth, and it is a major time of renovation and renewal. And because they're cardinal planets, they're a little more argumentative than the mutables that go, well, all right, I'll change. And they don't, mutables don't really give a lot of argument. They change kind of, they're designed to change. They're designed to change without a fight. They're the time between the seasons when we go from spring to summer, and some days it's hot and some days it's spring-like, or when we go from summer to fall and some days it's hot and other days it's fall-like. So they're changeable. With these new planets, the signs the planets are in now are very argumentative, and they're very much about my way. I don't want to do it your way. I want to do it my way. So it's an arguing energy that we haven't lived with very long. We've only had it since last summer, and that was when Mel Gibson was going crazy with his girlfriend and screaming all those things at her. And, you know, we're getting used to this new energy, and I have to say it's a little more argumentative than I had anticipated it being. I had kind of thought Uranus would come in and be, like, friendly, but he's pretty crabby, you know? What do you think?
That Uranus in Aries would be more friendly?
I thought it would be more, you know, it's just like, okay, let's just do it, blow it up and change it, you know? We hate the old thing, let's get rid of it. And that's not at all what it's like,
No, because it's so much anticipating that square with Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Pluto wants absolute power.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to take the absolute power away is to absolutely undo it. You know, it's the energy of Pluto is very much all or none. So there's a resistance. You know, we talk about Pluto being a planet of transformation, but the kind of transformation that comes through Pluto requires a total metamorphosis. You know, it's the kind of transformation you get when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wonderful, beautiful thing, but when you look at the butterfly, there's really no trace of a caterpillar.
Right.
All those little legs, gone.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's got these beautiful wings. But you can't picture a caterpillar with wings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't picture the butterfly as being this little crawly thing moving along a branch.
Mm-hmm. It's looking for a leaf.
No. And so the caterpillar has to be destroyed. Now, in the case of a caterpillar into a butterfly, it all happens very quietly within a cocoon, and we don't really witness it. But on the cellular level, the sort of change that's going on is an absolute all-or-none change. You're either all butterfly or all caterpillar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a nice, easy slide in between. In fact, we don't even see an in-between stage of caterpillar halfway into butterfly. Nope. We see a caterpillar, it goes into a cocoon, and then we never see that caterpillar again.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't see anything in between caterpillar and butterfly. But we get a butterfly in the end. So anyway, with the Uranus squaring Pluto, we have Uranus going into Aries, and I think, you know, Anne, you're looking at the Uranus into Aries, and it would be that kind of bright going forward energy, you know, unopposed. But instead, it's squaring Pluto. So there has to be a resistance.
Right.
And that resistance, you know, the same way with nuclear energy, the kind of transformation of forms of energy that goes on there, there's a resistance. And if it's not contained, it goes really out of control, very much out of control.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have to work with the resistance and resist that change sufficiently that we keep it under control, but not so much that we can't keep it under control, because then it totally blows up also.
Right.
You know, kind of a fine line. So that's what we're getting with the square to Pluto with this Uranus. And again, as we go through this eclipse, we're going to get a touch of some kind of a revelation of where some of that energy is going to blow up.
And how. Yeah.
Yeah, and how.
Because it's going to talk to us and it's going to say, this is what I think we should get rid of.
Right.
And we might say, I don't really want to get rid of that, you know. But it is eclipses. Eclipses are very, I don't care what you want. It's time.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the transits we can negotiate with, meaning we can say, you know, I'm really not ready yet. Maybe I'll go to school next year. Maybe I'll, you know, We get, you know, we kind of can waffle a little bit. Eclipses, it just kind of takes place. And we go, oh, wow, I have to deal with this. And so whatever this Mercury is going to bring as it rolls through those planets, it's a pre-taste. And it is in Cancer. So it's also forming the emotional component of the energy. So because it's squaring Uranus and it's opposing Pluto, Mercury's in a sensitive place. And he's like, I don't know that I want these changes. You know, this is not making me happy. And that piece is part and parcel of, you know, how do we work with it? What do we do? Now that we know we have to do something, what is it we're going to do? And that's, I think, the piece that is hard. It's the that we have to do something, even if we don't really know what we want. You know, so.
The good news with this eclipse is the Venus trine Saturn.
Yeah.
The good news.
Yeah, it means I get a new computer, right?
yeah, you know, there's a little hope. There's a glimmer of hope for your computer.
Well, it keeps saying to me, you know, I've done all the different diagnostics, and it's like, well, we can recover it back to factory wear level, but you're going to have to install everything again. And I'm like, really?
Oh.
Really? I have to do that?
You know, wow.
It's not happy with me, Mark. It doesn't like me.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
No.
But there's hope for it. You might have to put a little money into it.
Yeah, I think it needs
you'll have the money. Because, again, Venus trine Saturn.
Right, Venus trine Saturn. So I have money to put into it, right? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then you have to reset the bones.
Right. And then reinstall all the crap that's all over, you know, that's not in there, which is a real pain in the butt.
Right.
Oh, dear. It's not happy. It's just back again.
Yeah.
Saying, nope, it didn't work. I don't think I did anything to it either. I'm not quite sure what happened.
Probably not, no. Probably.
Something crawled in over the night, over the weekend when I wasn't looking. Whatever.
Yeah.
Pardon?
I was going to say, meanwhile, Mr. Mars is getting ready to enter Gemini.
I know.
Mars has been moving through Taurus and then come next Monday.
Yeah, he goes in next week, right? Monday, Gemini? Yeah.
On Monday.
So he's got a little bit more in Taurus.
Right.
Which is the physical reality. Right now he's probably on Algol. My computer got beheaded. Damn.
There you go.
You know?
Wow.
Yeah.
Computer lost its head.
My computer lost its head. Oh, well. So the British lady's speaking. So we're done. Another week, another
week.
June 13th. Remember, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, separate from things. Oh, please, not my computer. Thursday, Friday, cooperate, build things. Maybe I'll get a new computer. Saturday, Sunday, separate. So it's releasing week. So really focus on your releases and what you need to let go of to help you be able to fly. You know, and think metamorphosis. I think Mark's analogy of the butterfly is really true. We don't often have an opportunity to metamorphosis? Metamorphize in our lifetime. But we're getting it this right now. So metamorphize, or the similar, whatever the proper verb is of that.
Right.
So So my name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer on the Upper East Side, my bright red desk.
This is Mark Waltz on the west side of Manhattan. And next week we should hear again from Heather Roan Robbins out in St. Paul.
Yeah. And feel free to join us at the Open Center, where we speak every Tuesday. And we have an in-person. You can bring your questions, bring your charts, chat, 6:30 to 7:30, $5. And you get to meet nice astrology-interested people, too. And also this weekend there is a conference in New York at the FIT on Saturday on the moon from 10 until 5:30. It's well worth attending. It's really good speakers. Eileen McCabe, Frank Signorella, Noreen Moglia, and Dietrich Pessen coming in from Boston area. So all about the moon and how the moon moves us. So take care. Talk to you next week.
Okay.
Bye.